hopefully you'll get over it. I like to be down here. I don't like to be up there. Not that I can't act. My wife tells me I'm an actor or a character anyhow. But it's good to be here today. Before we get started, a couple things to let you know. When I'm talking to us, I'm talking to us, okay? All right, I'm not pointing the finger at you as much as I'm pointing it at me. I'm very critical of myself. I was a coach for 32 years, so I can be critical. That was a part of the job. I wasn't so good at some of the other stuff like affirmation that I should have been, but I was good at critiquing. So don't think that I'm just talking to you. I'm talking to me too. Secondly, I am very blunt. Okay? I don't beat around the bush. I don't do any of that sugarcoating. I just tell it, hopefully, like God says it is. Okay? And I'm also a little bit of a smart aleck. Dana is shaking her head right now. Right? And Jeremy's over there going, that makes two of us then, huh? She's shaking her head even more. And I don't mind asking you questions, okay? Here's another thing. Well, I got this from Sunset International or Institute of SIBI, let's put it that way. Sunset International Bible Institute, I got it. A couple weeks back when I went there, the old guy stood up and he said, well, my congregation told me I had an illness, so I needed to go see my doctor. And I did. And upon examination, the doctor told me, well, you have a, what we might call a lung disorder. He said, do what? He said, yep, we have diagnosed it as wind. Wind? Yep, and he said, and it's long. So I am long-winded. I have a tendency to go overtime. If you have an appointment or something you need to do and it gets to that point in time, feel free to get up and walk out. You're not going to offend me at all. And if somebody else in here is offended by it, they need to come talk to you. They're not supposed to talk about you. They're supposed to come talk to you. Okay? So don't let that prevent you from doing what you need to do. Now, you know why we stand up and sing a song before the sermon, right? Church of Christ tradition, we're trying to get you more awake before the guy starts talking. Well, don't worry about that with me. If you close your eyes, I'm going to ask you a question. Okay? We'll have the person next to you tap you on the shoulder. All right. Did you listen to the scriptures that were read? One talking about the broad gate and the narrow gate. Here's a question. You can answer it. What did God say about the broad gate and how many are going to enter? Many. Is that above 50%? It is. Does that make you feel bad at all? When you think about that most of the world's population today and that existed throughout history will not be in heaven. Does that bother you? Hopefully it does. Hopefully if you found the cure for cancer that would eliminate cancer in the world, that you would share that. Would you? Or just keep it to yourself? Do you have the cure for eternal death? It's right here. Are you going to share it? Or are you going to keep it to yourself? Gospel sharing ministry is here for two things. To share the gospel. And hopefully teach others to share the gospel. I'm only going to be here a week. I may come by and visit sometime. You're only an hour and a half from where I live in College Station. I'm not an Aggie, by the way. Sorry for those of you that are. I may never see you again. So I may not be back here and knock on doors in this neighborhood to go see your loved ones to share the gospel. Although if you need me to, give me a call. I'll come and we'll go do it. Don't hesitate, because I don't mind. That's one of my purposes here on earth as a Christian. What about you? How many going to enter that narrow gate? Few. But you know what? We need to be assured that we are. And we need to be happy about that. Happy enough that we're going to share it with somebody else. So what's the problem? Did you listen to the other scripture? When's Jesus coming back? It said like a thief in the night. Any of you ever been burglarized? None of you? You have? When did they tell you they were coming? You mean they didn't set up an appointment? We don't know when Jesus is coming back. So what's the excuse for not sharing the gospel? I'm waiting for the right time. Have you ever used that excuse? I'm waiting for the right time. I'm praying about it, and I'm going to wait for the right time to do it. What if that time never occurs, that you're calling the right time? Here's what Jesus' answer to it was. Mark 16:15-16, and he said to them, "Sit in your pew and preach the gospel." Is that what your version says? It sure doesn't. It says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Now, we're going to be honest with you. You're going to be out of your comfort zone if you've never done anything like this before. And what you're going to have to do and what God asks you to do is get outside of your comfort zone. I've been there. I've been where you're at right there, having people talk to me about sharing the gospel, and I didn't feel like I was qualified. I didn't feel like I knew enough. I didn't know how to do it. Well, I still may not be qualified in some people's mind, but I know how to share the gospel. I know how to do that because all I got to do is share God's word. That's all I got to do. I got a question for you. I meant to ask this a while ago, but I'll ask it now. How many of you got up this morning and came to church? Raise your hand. How do you come to yourself? Think about it. How'd you come to yourself? This is a building. You came to the assembly of the church. You're the church. And here's what I say. Don't invite somebody to church. Be the church. Let's get them in the church. Then they can come to the assembly with us and be a part of the church. Now, I'm not telling you you can't invite somebody to church, okay? But what I'm trying to emphasize is too many times we're inviting people to church, going to have them come here and sit down, and nobody's going to ever talk to them about the gospel, so how can they obey it? They're going to hear a good sermon, I'm sure, Cole. I'm sure they are. But Cole, every time he stands up, is not going to be able to preach the gospel to you. He should mention the gospel, Cole. He could even do this for his lesson. If you've never been in a church of Christ before, we want you to know something. This right here is our authority. We don't have man-made things that we go by. We go by this book right here. We'd love to share it with you. Well, maybe you've never read it, and you think you're good with God. Well, you know what? What if there's something in here you've never read that God expects of you, and because you've never read it, you don't know what to do? That happened with me one time. I let a young man share his story. I said, "Can I share my story?" He said, "Yes," and I got this out. And I started turning the pages. He said, "Oh, no, I won't look at that." I said, "What? You won't look at it?" He said, "No, I don't need to look at that. I'm good." I said, "Well, all I want to do is share my story and use this. And by the way, what if there is something in here that God expects of you in order to have salvation and go to heaven just like you told me you were, but because you won't read it, you don't know it?" Well, okay, I guess we can. 3 hours later, that young man obeyed the gospel. Isn't that something? And all I did was encourage him to look at this. And then God did the work on his heart, and he obeyed the gospel. Isn't that amazing that God's word is powerful? But he says, "Go." And if you don't go, hey, you may have seen something strange today in the Church of Christ that you got a question about. Come talk to us. You probably did see somebody strange up there in front talking. But that's okay. Talk to him too. He likes people to talk to him. Talk about your spiritual life or go talk to somebody about theirs. I think the number one purpose, you may or may not agree with me, am I supposed to turn that on? Yeah, I am. You may or may not agree with me on that, but I think my number one profession is being a Christian. I've already retired from two professions, but I'm not retiring from Christianity. My number one purpose in that profession is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. got shared with me somewhere down the road. Didn't it get shared with you? If it hadn't, where would you be right now? If that hadn't been shared with you, where would you be? Well, I can tell you where you'd be. You'd be lost. Lost for eternity. And that's not a good place to be. We're going to talk today about God's Word. Imagine that, Church of Christ going to talk about God's Word. I think I got it turned on. Let's see if I can work it. We're going to talk about what's important versus essential. If I asked you what was important in God's Word, what would you tell me? You can talk. All of it. Every bit of it's important. But then I got a different question for you. What's essential? What's essential in God's Word that if I don't obey it, if I don't believe it, then it's not a good situation? See, you can't just take part of God's Word and then throw the other out. In fact, if you want to throw this part of God's Word out, you might as well throw that out too. I mean, which one are you going to choose? Whose decision is that? Well, that'd be a matter of your opinion again. And see, I don't have a right to make an opinion about that. The Creator has that right. The one that promised me eternal life has that right. I don't have it. In God's Word, all is important, but what's essential? Are there life or death statements in God's Word? Now, when we talk about life or death, you may have to explain that to people. We all die physically. We live physically, or you wouldn't be sitting in that pew today. But then there's spiritual life and spiritual death. And when you talk about God's Word, He's talking about one of those two. But are there spiritual life and spiritual death statements in the Bible? Well, let's see. If so, what are they? Number one life or death statement is John 8:24. Therefore I said that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Who is that He? It's Jesus. In other words, if you don't believe in Jesus, you cannot be saved. Isn't that what that says? Is that Larry's opinion? Is that yours opinion? Or is it God's Word? You're judging? No. You're making a judgment based upon God's Word, and you show that to them so they'll understand it too. That it's not your opinion. You follow the Word of God, that's what that Word says. You'll die in your sins. That means eternal death. They need to know that. A lot of people don't. Well, who is Jesus? Now, here's an interesting scripture. Make some interesting discussion with people. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Ooh, that's unusual. Unusual in the way that it's written as far as what we think of as the English language. So it makes good discussion. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh. Oh, now we're getting, that Word means Jesus. Because He became flesh like me, a human, and dwelt among us. We saw His glory. The glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you know most people believe there was a Jesus? Do you know that most people don't realize that He was before with God, before all this occurred and creation happened? They don't know that. Do you think most people believe that Jesus was God on earth? So He was 100% God and 100% man? And the one I'm supposed to believe in is the only begotten of the Father? You see how this starts to explain? God explains to us. If God expects us to believe something, do or not do something, He'll tell us that in Scripture. That's what we share in this gospel presentation as a part of our story. How does Larry know whether he's going to heaven or not? Number one, I believe that Jesus Christ came to earth and was God on earth and that He is the Son of God. That's what God tells us in His Word that we have to believe. So when those people on TV that have those talk shows and stuff, or maybe one of those well-known TV evangelists says, there are other ways to get to God other than Jesus. Where's the scripture to back that up? They don't have one. In fact, most of them, when they start talking about God that believe that type of stuff, they're not using scripture at all. They're just telling you what they think. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to do a lot of talking this morning. Check me out. You can do it right there in the pew, or when you leave here today, you go check out what I said. If I said something you disagree with, come talk to me. Because I want to correct it if it needs correcting. You understand what I'm saying? Just because a person stands up there or stands right here and talks publicly doesn't mean, unless they're using Scripture, they're telling you the truth. Check it out. That's your job. You're going to go stand before God and say, well, so-and-so said this, and I just accepted it. You ever been pulled over by a state trooper? Start making excuses for breaking the law. I didn't know. What'd he tell you? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. I can imagine God saying that. I didn't know we were supposed to do that. Well, you were ignorant, son. And as a result of being ignorant and not finding out what you needed to do, then there's another word that most people don't like. My mother didn't like me saying it, so I'll leave it out. But I used to use it in teaching. It's okay to be ignorant. It means you don't know something. But if you're supposed to know it and you don't do it, well, that's stupid to me. I used it anyhow. But see, that makes sense to me. If I know I have to do this or not do this to be right with God, and I don't do it, knowing the consequences, well, I don't think that's very smart. But what if I don't know it at all? Is that going to be okay with God? Majority of people that I knock on the door, I don't know about these men and women here. Are you going to heaven? You betcha. Hey, man, that's great. Tell me your story. When did you become confident you were going to heaven? Well, you know what? I'm a really good person. I help all my neighbors out around here. I help my mother when she needs help. I help my brothers. I help my sister-in-law. Man, I'm a good person. I help all these people. You know what I want to ask them? And I don't. Because I want to talk to them. Where doesn't the Bible say that by you doing all those works, you're going to earn your way to heaven? Where does it say that? Doesn't say that. In fact, in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 7, it talks about, they asked Jesus, who's going to heaven? He said, those that do the will of my Father. And they start, well, we did this for the poor, and we did this for the widows, and we did this and this. What'd Jesus tell them? Depart from me, you practicers of lawlessness. That makes me think they didn't know something, or they didn't know something, they didn't do it. They were describing good people. And don't get me wrong, God expects us to be good people. That's called living for Him. But He has other expectations of me as well. That's one of them. Life or death number two. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To salvation. That means by believing in Jesus and believing in the gospel, you're getting to salvation. You ain't there yet. It's like you going to Walmart, pick something up for your spouse. Until you go into that store, you ain't there. You're going to it. Same thing with God. You got to be in Christ. And this is one of the things that can help you get there. But here's the question. And I'm afraid a lot of people don't know it. I got to believe in the gospel. What's the gospel? What is the gospel? God says I got to believe in it. If I do, I have salvation. Well, the question is, what is it? Here's what I'm afraid. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm afraid that we are not teaching what the gospel is. And I'm talking about Church of Christ. I don't believe we're teaching it. And we need to get back to teaching it. It's the power of God's salvation, so we need to know it. So what is it? Well, you know what? God tells us I have to believe in it, so guess what God's going to do? Is your name Paul? John?
Don?
You changed it since we met earlier. No, you didn't. Thanks for the song service this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. If God tells me I have to believe in something, He puts it in the book. He don't leave it up to Larry to determine what it is. Well, what's 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4? By the way, if you don't learn any other scripture, the ones that I present today or we cover this week, you need to know that one. Because when you ask people what's the gospel, you're going to get all kinds of answers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, why would they say that? Well, that's what we teach them, right? The Gospels. Well, somebody tells me that. I say, well, you know, that's not a bad answer, but those books contain the story of the Gospel. The books themselves are not. The Gospel here, as described by Paul, is I'm going to make known to you, brethren, the Gospel which I preached to you, and which you also received, and which also you stand, by which you are also saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you of first important what I also received, that Christ died. Ooh, that's the first part of the Gospel. For our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. So, church, here's what I want you to be able to do. When somebody asks you what the Gospel is, you ought to be able to say the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. How important is that? If he hadn't died and was buried, where are your sins? You still got them. Because he had to shed his blood for our sins to be cleansed, correct? And what if he didn't raise from that grave? You got another problem now too, don't you? You got two problems. You got a sin problem, and you got a grave problem. I can't do about either one of those for myself, and I can't do it for you either. If I could, I would, because I love you. And by the way, there's nothing you can do about that, Barbara. I love you. I'm also your brother, and you can't do anything about that either. Why are you laughing, Don? I'm your brother too. Okay. The Gospel. Life or death, if you don't believe that happened, so if people don't believe in Jesus to start with, they don't believe that happened, right? In fact, there was a guy named Saul who didn't believe that happened either, did he? Came to a conclusion later on, didn't he? Right? My wife would say it had to knock him upside the head. God struck him blind to get his attention. But see, he didn't believe that. That's why he was persecuting the church. And once he believed it and started doing what God told him to do, what a powerful Christian he became. Life or death. Number three, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Got to be willing to confess the name of Jesus. You know what I believe that also means? This right here. I think this ties in with it. It may not be the best scripture for it. He who loves father, mother, sister, brother, mother-in-law, any of those more than God or anything more than God, you're not worthy of him. If I walk out this church building and I'm doing things that are unchristian-like, am I confessing Jesus? If I say things that are unchristian-like, am I confessing Jesus? In fact, if I walked out these doors today and y'all saw me and heard me saying and doing things that didn't reflect what I'm trying to talk to you about today, you'd question my Christianity, wouldn't you? Because your confession also has to do with the way you live your life. It's one thing to sit there and say, oh, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died and was buried and resurrected. But then you don't live for it. That's part of your confession. I tell you, no, life, death statement number four, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Within three verses, he said the same thing twice. You ever had that happen? Paula, you had to tell one of those kids of yours something more than twice? Did you mean it the first time? Second time, you really did. I see Paul shaking his head anyhow. The daughters, they're not shaking their head, but Paul is. Well, God repeats things more than once in the Bible, so you get an understanding that's what he means. So here's the question. What does it mean to repent? Ask for forgiveness? Well, you know, if you know what this word means in the Bible, that's not the right answer, is it? Okay? So you might say something, well, you know, that's not bad, but is there more to it than that? Look here. If God tells me I got to repent of sins or I'm going to die in them, he tells me what those sins are. And this is just one place in the Bible where it describes sins that are unrighteous lifestyles, meaning they're not right with God. And if you live that way, you can't get to heaven. I won't take time to read all that scripture for you. You see it. While I'm talking here, read through it. If there's any of those terms that you have a question about, come talk to somebody, because you need to know what they mean. If you're a young person that's considering coming a part of the church, you need to know what those are. If you're a parent raising a young person that one day you want to be a part of the church, you need to show them this scripture. I have a nephew that announced to the family he was one of those things. Nobody went to him and talked to him about what God thinks about that lifestyle. Uncle Larry did. I didn't do it to condemn him. I didn't do it because I was mad at him. I did it because I loved him. And wanting to at least know, God allows you to choose to do whatever you want to. But if you choose to do things that are contrary to what he says, that are unrighteous lifestyles, then there's a punishment for that. There's a reward for living for him, and there's a punishment for not living for him. He still loves you, but he's not going to let you get there if you're going to live it the way you want to live it. So look through that list real quick before I flip that over and make sure you know it. If I flip through it too quick, go look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. You can go look in, Galatians chapter 5, Romans chapter 1 has a whole list of sins. Some of them are duplicated from what you see here, but it tells you what God expects of you to do as a Christian. And there are things that each one of us can work on, okay? We like to put them on a balancing scale. If you're an adulterer, you're way up here, and I just gossip about people, I'm way down here. God says you can't do either one. Sin is sin. So you may have a problem with one of these things. Pray about it. Work on it. Get support with it. Go to your dearest friend in the church and say, hey, man, I got a problem I'm dealing with. Can you help me? That's difficult, isn't it, to admit we got a problem, we need help? Great example. There was a young man that I've become acquainted with since I moved to College Station. He obeyed the gospel this past summer. And he came to me the other day and sat down with me talking with him because we developed a relationship, and he told me of a very serious problem he has. It's an addiction. And it's an addiction he's fighting with. And he felt guilty because he was fighting with it. Why? Because he knew God didn't like it. So he said, let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. And he shared it with a couple other two people that he had. What courage it took for him to do that. I didn't ask him if he had a problem. He wanted me to know because he knew I cared. And would at least pray for him and talk to him about it and tell him, hey, you're not the Lone Ranger here. You're not the only one that struggles with problems in this life. You're not the only one that's human. Therefore, we're not perfect. But we can talk about it. I even thanked him for having the courage to come and talk to somebody about it. Because most people won't do that. We're family. We ought to share. Look at this last part. I included verse 11, I believe that is. No, that's 10. Such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified. Now go back to the word repent. What does it mean to do? Such were some of you, and now you changed. Let's say you were an alcoholic. You probably drink because you like it, like the way it makes you feel. God expects you to do what? Change. Is there a possibility you'll be tempted for the rest of your life to consume alcohol? Yes. So what does he expect you to do? Let him help you overcome it. Let others that may have a similar problem help you to overcome it. Get support from family and help you overcome it. Because he expects you to change. Not just ask for forgiveness and then next week go do the same thing. That's not repenting. Life or death number 5. And to give you relief who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God or those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Is that life or death? Life means you're going to heaven, right? We always point up there. Eternal death means you're not going there. There's only two places you go at the end of this life. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. God said it, not Larry. But God put the conditions on it, not Larry and not you. So if I share with you a condition, it's shared from the Word of God. Now, we already talked about knowing Jesus, right? We got to know God. We shared this in the Bible class this morning. See if you can answer it. Maybe those of you weren't here, but if they weren't here, help them out. What does it mean to know God? We got a creator, correct? God did all that, created all this, created us as human beings. Is that all there is to knowing God? If you do not love, you do not know God. If you don't know that scripture, you need to know it. That's why I can stand here, Barb, and tell you I love you. And I hope you love me too. You know what? God didn't give us a choice. And she doesn't have to be my sister in Christ to love her either. She doesn't have to. I go out that street and there's somebody standing out there I've never met in my life. I'm supposed to love that individual because that's God's creation. That's the way God wants me to be. If you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. I had a lady in church tell me one time, you know, this man did something to me, and this was probably a lady 75, did to me years ago, and I just never will forgive him. You know what I told her? Just very nicely, she knows I love her. You don't have a choice. My grandmother told me that one time. If you're going to be a Christian, you don't have a choice but to forgive. You know what? I knew she was right. So I had to learn to do it. You don't have a choice if you're going to know God. But what about this other? Micah can answer this now. Where'd Micah go? Micah can, he can tell you the answer to this now. Because we talked about it and I used him as an example earlier. God not only says you have to believe the gospel, which is condition number two or expectation number two. He says now you have to obey the gospel. Those are two different things. I'll explain that real quickly. If my wife tells me to get up and unload the dishwasher, guess what? I heard her. I believe she said it, but I haven't obeyed it until I go do it. I believe in the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. How do I obey the death, burial, and resurrection? Does that sound kind of weird? Maybe. Unless you know these scriptures and what it leads to. Well, again, if God tells me I got to do something, he tells me what that is. He explains it to me in his word. Look what he says. Death, burial, and resurrection. We've already talked about that. How do I obey it? Romans 6, 3 through 6. When you read this scripture, or we read it here in a minute, you're not going to see the word gospel in that scripture, verses 3 through 6. But do you hear the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we also too might walk in newness of life. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we no longer should be slaves of sin. How do you get rid of your sin? The blood of Christ has to cleanse you. He shed his blood on the cross. So what does God ask me to do in obedience to obey the gospel? Die to myself, be buried under water, baptism, so the blood of Christ can cleanse me. Now come up out of the water sinless. Isn't that like a death, burial, and resurrection right there? That's a reenactment of the gospel. And God says you have to do it. Does everybody teach that nowadays? And if he says you have to do it, that's essential. That's not, well, okay, we'll do it because we think we have to do it. You know what? If you tell me God said to do that, that's the reason you did it, guess what? It's essential. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? Oh, no. Did you get baptized? Yeah. Why'd you get baptized? Because God said to do it. Well, God did say to do it, but they don't understand why, so they're going to tell you it's not essential. It's essential because you have to reenact the gospel, have your sins washed away, or you still got your sins. That's not a good situation. Here's what I tell them. This gentleman right here, and there's three different people there, I think he believes in Jesus. I think he believes in the gospel. He's willing to confess Jesus in the way he lives and how he talks. He's willing to repent of a sinful lifestyle. Now he is ready to obey the gospel. So what does he do? He gets buried underwater so the blood of Christ can cleanse him. And then when he comes back out of there, he's in a saved condition with Christ. There's five expectations right there. Well, is that all of it? Well, no, it's not. For if after they've escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness and having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed to them. Confession. When I was in college and on through about the first 10 years of my marriage, I had a drinking problem. I wasn't an alcoholic, but I drank to get drunk. I liked it. I liked the way it tasted. I liked the way it made me feel. Is that right with God? You can say, no, it ain't. God says you can't be a drunkard. So it ain't right with God. So at age 25, I'm convinced of this. Maybe you're not. If you're not, come talk to me. At age 25, if Jesus Christ would have come back, which I don't know when he's coming back, but when I was 25 years old, I would not have gone to heaven because I was living as a drunkard. I got drunk because I liked it. But also, I can tell you this, even as a drunkard, I wasn't even trying to live for God. Not just because of the drinking. That was my whole lifestyle. Thank God he gave me time and people in my life that helped me correct that situation. But again, I don't know when he's coming back. So you may know somebody like that right now. You may have an issue right now. Well, right now is the time to change it. Right now. Is it going to be easy? Not always. It was easy for me to quit being a drunkard because I wasn't addicted to it. Physically. Mentally, I thought I had to have it to have a good time. But when I decided to go back and start living for God, I was able to give that up pretty easy. There are other things that are more difficult to overcome. God expects you to try. And that's what it's saying here. Life or death statement number 6 is live for God. You have to do that the rest of your life. When you decide to obey the gospel, you just entered into a marriage relationship with Jesus Christ. He doesn't expect you to be perfect, but he does expect you to be faithful. That's what he expects. And that's what we're trying to do. So, believe in Jesus, believe in the gospel, confess Jesus, repent of sin, obey the gospel, and live for him. Those are the 6 expectations, correct? Everybody agree with me? Is there another one? No. Do I have to be perfect? No. But I got to live for God and do the best I can to live for him and have brothers and sisters like you encourage me, support me, help me when I need help. Talk to each other about how things are going. We can even talk about fishing every now and then. Where did my fishing buddy go? Okay. I got you. According to the word, which of these can you leave out, though? Well, I don't like number 4. I'm just not going to live by that. Well, if you're not going to live by number 4, why do number 2? Which one can you leave out? You don't have a choice. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Is it God's will that you follow those 6 expectations? then you can't leave any of them out, or you're not doing His will. And if you're not doing His will, Jesus says, in God's word, you can't get to heaven. I mean, it's that simple. But you know what? A lot of the people you know don't know that. Do we care where our friends, loved ones spend eternity? You're going to have to get to the point where it just don't matter if they get mad at you. You don't go to them and try to make them mad. You talk to them because you love them, because you care about them. You even let them know that's why you're talking to them. But if you're concerned about where they're going to spend eternity, and I hope you are, do you love them? If you won't share with them? What kind of love is that? We got parents in here, right? We got grandparents in here, right? Great-grandparents in here, right? Do you teach your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren how to live their life right? Because you love them and you want them to be good people? Right? Why won't you also share with them the Word of God? Friends. People that you run into at Walmart. People that helped you change your tire, right, Joe?
Amen.
Joe doesn't miss an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus. Neither does Miss Darla. I've listened to her phone message. She asked me a question every time. If Jesus Christ were to come today, do you know for sure without a doubt you'd go to heaven? That's an important question. It's a question that you should ask to anybody. And if you do it the right way, you won't offend them. Because they know you care about them. Or you wouldn't be asking to begin with. Jesus is the only hope a person has to get to heaven. You agree with that? And there's only two places you can go. Well, I messed up then, didn't I? You may be the only one to ever share it with them. Because guess what? It's not in everybody's comfort zone. It's not always in the elders' comfort zone. And they won't step out. It's not always in the minister's comfort zone. And they won't step out. Because it's not comfortable to them. And they're going to wait for the right time. I talked to an elder not too long ago. And he's a great man. He told me when I asked him about sharing the gospel, he said, well, I'm going to wait till I develop a relationship with them and they trust me. What's lacking there? When's Jesus coming back? That's what I asked him. When's Jesus coming back? How long is it going to take you to develop that trust? I asked a young man that one time. He said, well, I got a friend out in California. I'm going to talk to him about Jesus when the time is right. I said, well, how long y'all been friends? He said, 5 years. That's a really good relationship, isn't it? You know what? You can talk to people that are complete strangers. I'm convinced of this. And within 5 minutes, they can know you care about them and they can trust what you're telling them. Because you're looking at the Bible. If they're not going to trust somebody, it's going to be God they don't trust. Not you. People just need to know you care. And I think you can do that in 5 minutes. If it takes you 5 years for somebody to know you care about them, I don't know what you're doing there, but it's not working. Heaven or hell? Will you be there is a question. If you're here today and you're not sure of your salvation, let's talk. You can come up when we have an invitation here in a little while, or if that makes you feel uncomfortable, you talk to me, to Joe, to Darla, to Diane, Rodney, Christy, and my brother Bell, David, or anybody else in here. And if they don't know an answer, have them come to one of us and let's sit down and let's talk about it. You need to be sure of your salvation. I asked a teenage boy that was baptized. I was teaching a high school class, and I went through evangelism with him, gospel presentation. Very first day, a young man, 18 years old, he obeyed the gospel 3 weeks earlier. I asked him the question, do you know for sure without a doubt that you're going to heaven if Jesus came today? You know what he said? Well, I'm not sure. My mind said this. I didn't say it out loud. Well, what were you taught? What have you been taught if you're not sure? And you now obey the gospel, you become a part of God's family, and you're not sure that God's promise is involved in that, and that promise is eternal salvation? What are you being taught? Just go get baptized because everybody else is doing it. Or that's what we do. In other words, it hadn't been explained to him. Not to the extent where he needed to know it. And he's 18 years old, been in the church his whole life. When you start asking questions, you're going to be amazed at the answers you get. I asked another guy coaching football in high school. He'd been coming to church ever since I've been there. And at that time, I'd only been there about 5 years, I guess, or maybe less. And he was graduating that year, and I asked him one day, "Have you obeyed the gospel?" He said, "Well, what's that?" Been in church his whole life. His grandparents were in that church. His mother was in that church. Nobody talked to him about obeying the gospel. He didn't get it in the youth group either. I don't know about you, but to me, there's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with that. Nobody's talking to these kids or adults about the gospel. Even the ones that walk in the door sit there their whole life. There's only two options. We talked about that. Here's eight good reasons I do this. There's eight of them right there. They're my grandkids. And that's an old picture. My oldest one now is 13 years old. I got two that are almost 12 years old. I've got another two that are 10, another one that's 9, and I got a young one that's 6. I'm worried. Here's why I'm worried. I know the world they're living in. And if they're not taught the gospel by someone, if they're not talked to about Jesus and exposed to Jesus, what chance do they have? That's why I talked to my granddaughter on the way back in Colorado about, okay, you were baptized. Why? What would you tell somebody as the reason you got baptized? What would you tell that gal Cassidy you've been talking to for the last 4 hours on the phone while we're driving down the road? What would you tell her? The most common answer I get from teenagers when I ask them that question is this: to get closer to God. Well, you know, that's not a bad answer. You want to be closer to God in everything you do. But it's not the biblical answer. The biblical answer says I have to obey the gospel, and I do that to have my sins washed away. And I can't get them washed away without doing that. And here's where it is. It's in the Bible. Let me show you. And that's what I told her too. I said, don't have a discussion and argue with somebody about it. If you want to talk about it, great, have a discussion. But show them Scripture to back up what you're saying. And you know what? She's old enough to open up a Bible, and particularly this one right here, that even tells you what page to go to. You don't have to know all these books in order. It'd be nice if we did. But all you got to do is turn to a page. Let them read it. The very first thing we turn to in here says, you can know that you have eternal life. That means without a doubt. I had a young lady come up and said, after you talk today, I think I can tell people I'm going to heaven now. I've been a Christian ever since I was 13 and I'm 40 now, but I didn't think I could tell people that. You're not trying to be cocky. Not trying to be arrogant. You're not trying to condemn them. If they ask you going to heaven and you're assured of your salvation, say, well, yes, I am. Well, how do you know? Well, let me show you. Uh-oh, spiritual conversation. Look out. That's my wife there, if you can see her, and that's my eight grandkids there. Like I say, that picture's a little outdated. One of the reasons I do this, because I'm going to do the best I can to help make this world a better place for them. And that's one of my purposes as a Christian, is to share the gospel. But I got a selfish reason. I want them to be exposed to it. I want people that come in contact, like you, to be there to support them, to comfort it, to love them. They're not going to find that outside church. They're not going to, I don't think they're going to find the sincere support. They may find something like a selfish support. I love you if you do so and so. I love you because so and so. That's not unconditional love. And that's the love that's not going to, it's not going to stand up with the test of time. Thank you for being here today. I did get a little long-winded. I don't know when I was supposed to quit. He didn't tell me that, so it's Blame it on Joe. But it's good to be with you today. I hope that you'll be with us this week. If you got to work all week, take a sick day. What do you mean take a sick day? Don't you get sick days? Say, I'm sick and tired of not sharing the gospel, so I'm sick today. That sounds like a good reason, huh? And they say, what do you mean gospel? Well, let me tell you. Huh? Another opportunity. You need to be here. But I'm also going to offer this to you. If you're not able to be here this week, and you want us to share with you the gospel presentation, let us know. We'll set an appointment with you. I'll come up here at 10 o'clock at night with you, sit down, and we'll go through it. Because you know what? I want you to be able to talk to people about Jesus Christ in a way that uses Scripture, God's Word, and gives them an opportunity to have salvation. They may not listen to you, but you won't have to sing that song in your head. You never mentioned him to me. Remember that song that we don't sing anymore because it makes us feel guilty? We were friends in life. We were family in life, but you never mentioned him to me. See, I got two grandkids right now that aren't going to church whatsoever. So it's not being mentioned to them. They're not even being exposed to it. And to me, everybody should have a choice, a chance to make a choice. Again, thank you for leaving, being here today. If for some reason you need to come forward, maybe to obey the gospel, become a member of God's family, the church body that meets here, or if you got some other issue you want us to let us know about, do y'all do the invitation still here? I saw your little papers up here. A lot of places they quit doing invitations, I guess because people are uncomfortable. And a part of me understands that, and then the other part doesn't at all, because we're family. We love each other. I got mad at my mother all the time because she'd go in the hospital and get surgery. I come home from college, she said, well, I had this done. See, you didn't tell me. Well, I didn't want to bother you. I said, wait a minute. Whenever I'm sick or got something like that going on, I get in trouble if I don't tell you, but you're not going to tell me. I've had church members tell me, well, da, da, da. I said, well, you didn't tell me about that. Well, you couldn't do nothing. I can at least pray. Can I? Be willing to share with each other. Be willing to get involved in each other's lives. If we bring in new converts here, we're going to expect you to get involved in their life. Amen. They're a part of your family now. Get involved. Not saying run their life. I said get involved in their life. And be kind of like I told my oldest son years ago. I said, when you leave this house, have your family and start your life. I want you to know this. I am not going to tell you how to run your business. But your business will always be my business. Because you're my son. And I love you. So your business will always be my business. Three of those kids up there are his. They're my business. I can't tell them how to run it. I can talk to them about it, though, because I love them and I care about them. We will be here tomorrow morning at 8:30. We'll sign in at 8:45, and we will have a devotional at 9, and we'll hit the streets at 10. That's what our schedule is all week long. So make an opportunity to be with us. We want to share that with you. And again, let me encourage you. If you can't be here, let's share. I'll come to your house. We'll sit down. I'll let you fix me a sandwich or something, and we'll talk. Or you don't even have to fix a sandwich. Just give me a glass of water to drink. But let me come share. Let one of these people come and share with you this gospel presentation that works. It works. And you need to learn how to do it. Or at least have it presented to you. You can make a choice whether you want to do it or not. I love you guys. Thank you again. Brother Don.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power.